EEOC scales back. Federal EEO. Reporting requirements, what it means for private sector employers. On June 3, 2026, the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, EEOC, issued Directives Transmittal No. 96Z.001, titled Additional Instructions for MD 715, Reporting for 2026, signed by Chair Andrea R. Lucas. The additional instructions significantly curtail the reporting obligations that federal agencies have maintained for more than two decades under Management Directive 715, MD 715, the Commission's primary framework for overseeing federal agency employers' equal employment opportunity, EEO, programs. The directive relieves agencies of the obligation to report on barrier analysis, diversity and inclusion principles, gender identity, and key demographic workforce data, broken down by race, national origin, and gender, and grants agencies broad discretion to omit additional reporting elements they determine to conflict with recent executive orders. Commissioner Kalpana Kodagal issued a dissenting statement the same day, arguing that the additional instructions wrongly repealed core statutory and regulatory obligations, abandoned the Commission's oversight mission, and were adopted without public input. Although the instructions apply directly to federal agencies, private sector employers face related exposure. Commissioner Kodagal retains independent authority to pursue enforcement through commissioner-initiated charges, and the Commission has simultaneously proposed rescinding demographic reporting requirements for the private sector. Quick hits. The EEOC issued interim instructions relieving federal agencies of the obligation to report on barrier analysis, diversity and inclusion principles, gender identity, triggers, and workforce data table A in their MD 715 submissions for 2026. The additional instructions grant federal agencies broad discretionary authority to omit any additional MD 715 reporting element. A reporting agency determines conflicts with Executive Orders 14151, 14168, 14173, or 14281, effectively allowing each agency to determine for itself the extent to which it will comply with the traditional framework. In her dissent, Commissioner Kodagal identifies statutory and regulatory requirements that remain binding, including 29 CFR Cesaror 1614.601's data collection mandates, and articulates enforcement theories that she could pursue independently through commissioner-initiated charges, notwithstanding the current 2-1 majority. The key changes and the dissent. The additional instructions are framed as interim guidance pending a full replacement for MD 715, which was issued in 2003 and has governed federal sector EEO reporting since then. Chair Lucas's transmittal asserts that MD 715 no longer meets the needs of the modern federal government, citing unnecessary regulatory burdens, the failure to account for recent law, such as the Elijah Cummings Federal Employee Anti-Discrimination Act of 2020, and the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act of 2022, and potential conflicts with executive orders issued by the current administration. Commissioner Kodagal voted against the additional instructions and issued a detailed dissenting statement. The additional instructions are effective immediately upon receipt. A footnote indicates that the Commission may issue similar instructions for 2027 if a replacement directive has not been implemented. Barrier analysis. The additional instructions state that agencies are not required to address barrier analysis or triggers in their MD 715 submissions. Commissioner Kodagal, however, argues that barrier analysis, the annual self-assessment, through which agencies investigate anomalies or triggers found in employment-related policies, procedures, practices, and conditions, is a core statutory obligation, not a discretionary exercise. She likens barrier analysis to disparate impact analysis under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, noting its purpose is to remove barriers to EEO that are not necessarily intended or designed to discriminate. Eliminating it, she contends, adopts a head-in-the-sand approach. Turning a blind eye to discrimination does not mean that it has gone away. It simply means that it goes uncorrected, she states. Workforce Data Table. The additional instructions state that federal agencies are not required to provide Workforce Data Table A, the primary vehicle for reporting demographic breakdowns by race, national origin, and gender in their MD 715 responses. Commissioner Kodagal objects because the Commission's own regulations at 29 CFR 16.14.01a still require agencies to collect and maintain accurate employment information on the race, national origin, sex, and disability of employees, and Parar 16.14.601g requires agencies to report such data to the Commission. Because these regulations have not been rescinded, agencies remain legally obligated to collect the data, even if the additional instructions relieve them of the obligation to submit it. She also flags an unintended consequence. The grant of broad discretionary omission authority could enable agencies to conclude that Workforce Data Table B, concerning workers with disabilities, likewise falls within the scope of Executive Order 14151's directive to eliminate accessibility mandates, even though the additional instructions do not specifically excuse it. Diversity and inclusion principles. The additional instructions also relieve agencies of the obligation to address diversity and inclusion principles in their reporting. Commissioner Kodagal argues that lawful diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility efforts, when carefully implemented, create open and inclusive workplaces, advance merit and fairness, and reduce the risk of discrimination. She contends that the additional instructions validate inaccurate perceptions about these principles, wrongly conflate or collapse diversity, equity, and inclusion with equal employment opportunity obligations, and undermine federal agencies' mandate as model employers to engage in the proactive prevention of discrimination. Gender identity. Per the additional instructions, federal agencies are permitted to exclude references to gender identity from their annual EEO policy statements. Commissioner Kodagal characterizes this as reflecting a consistent pattern by the chair to treat transgender and non-binary workers as second-class citizens and states that try to exclude these workers from the law's protections or otherwise treat them as though they do not exist is unbefitting of a federal agency dedicated to advancing civil rights. Bostock v. Clayton County remains binding precedent of the Supreme Court of the United States, holding that Title VII prohibits employment discrimination based on gender identity as well as sexual orientation. The Commission's internal reporting decisions do not change that obligation or other obligations to protect gender identity and sexual orientation that may apply under federal case law and applicable state or local law. Broad discretionary omission authority. The additional instructions grant agencies authority to omit responses to any MD 715 element they conclude raises legal or policy concerns, including conflicts with Executive Orders 14151, Warnthor 168, 14173, or VOR 14281. Commissioner Kodagal calls this potentially a historic first, the premier civil rights agency charged with reviewing, evaluating, approving, and providing technical assistance and training for agencies' EEO programs, has handed over the reins to the regulated entities to determine whether they want to self-monitor and self-report. She predicts the result will be a patchwork of non-responses and omissions that will decrease the utility of the annual report the EEOC must submit to Congress. Connection to the EEOC's National Enforcement Plan. The additional instructions were not issued in isolation. One day later, on June 4, 2026, the Commission approved a new National Enforcement Plan, NEP, for fiscal year FY 2025 through FY 2029. Read together, the two documents reflect a unified shift. The additional instructions dismantle agency self-monitoring and reporting, while the NEP reshapes the Commission's own enforcement priorities. The NEP deprioritizes disparate impact liability, directing the EEOC to eliminate its use in investigations to the maximum degree possible, which parallels the additional instructions' elimination of barrier analysis, which, as noted, Commissioner Cotegal explicitly likens to disparate impact analysis. The NEP also targets programs labeled or framed as diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, or similar euphemisms as potential intentional discrimination. And both actions cite Executive Order 14281 and align with the same set of administration policies. The NEP also explicitly references commissioner charges as a mechanism for initiating priority investigations, confirming that individual commissioners can file charges without a private complainant to self-initiate investigations into areas they deem priorities. Commissioner charges as an independent enforcement tool. Employers may not want to dismiss Commissioner Cotegal's dissent as merely symbolic. Under the EEOC's governing statute, individual commissioners have the authority to initiate charges of discrimination independent of the full commission's majority. The commissioner-initiated charge has historically been used by commissioners in the minority to open investigations and compel responses from private sector employers, even when the broader commission might not have authorized such actions. The current 2-1 majority means Commissioner Cotegal cannot block the commission's policy direction through her vote alone, but the commissioner-initiated charge operates outside the majority's control. Commissioner Cotegal's dissent reads as a framework for future enforcement action. It identifies the statutory provisions she believes the additional instructions violate, the regulatory requirements she regards as still binding, and the categories of conduct she views as warranting scrutiny. She also draws an explicit connection to the private sector, noting the Commission's recent proposal to rescind the EEO-1 through EEO-5 reporting requirements, signaling that she views these developments as part of a broader pattern she is prepared to challenge through independent enforcement tools. Next steps. Employers, particularly federal contractors and those with DEI-related programs, may wish to monitor the Commission's proposed rescission of EEO Component 1 reporting requirements for the private sector, which reflects the same policy direction as the additional instructions for MD 715 reporting for 2026 and could alter the compliance landscape. Employers will also want to keep in mind that the current majority's enforcement priorities may not remain static and may conflict with existing and applicable law. Changes in commission composition could revive the enforcement theories in the dissent, and commissioner-initiated charges could bring those theories to bear even under the current commission's makeup. The commission has indicated it is working on a modern replacement for MD 715, though no timeline has been provided. The transmittal acknowledges a similar set of interim instructions may be issued for 2027 if the replacement is not yet ready. Ogletree Deakin's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Compliance, Government Contracting and Compliance, and Workforce Analytics and Compliance Practice Groups will continue to monitor developments and will provide updates on the diversity, equity and inclusion compliance, employment law, government contracting and compliance, and workforce analytics and compliance blogs as additional information becomes available. This article and more information on how the Trump administration's actions impact employers can be found on Ogletree Deakin's Administration Resource Hub. Follow and subscribe LinkedIn, Bantels, Instagram, Tosha, webinars, Yaws, podcasts,